on all the words, the brokenheartedness, the hardship, sometimes even danger, there was Jesus. And so, as I'm sitting there listening, I had to change my sermon. And so, I don't know where this is going to end up. But I want you to turn to John chapter 21. Well-known passage. It's not new to you, I'm sure. But just to set it up, Jesus has been crucified. The disciples scattered in fear. Faith tested, not knowing for sure what was coming next, even though Jesus had given them clue after clue about what would happen and what was coming, still they didn't get it. And imagine the confusion and the fear and the trepidation and the unknown that they were facing in the days after the resurrection, even after the crucifixion. Between the crucifixion and the resurrection and the first time they saw him and realized he had been risen from the grave, the fear that they had. And then he said to them, I'll see you in Galilee. He appeared to them several times. And he said to them, I'll see you in Galilee. So here we find the disciples, and there's a familiar story. The disciples go back to Galilee, and John says, I'm going to go fishing. And they still don't know what they're going to do next, but they're being obedient. They were told to go there and wait. And so in John chapter 21, we see this happening in John 21, verse 4. They're out there fishing, and they caught nothing. They're already despairing because of they don't know what's going to happen. They thought that God was going to bring the kingdom into fruition. None of this turned out the way they thought it was going to turn out. They're taking one day at a time and they're waiting. And while they're waiting, they go fishing. In verse 4, it says, just as the day was breaking, and they had spent all night fishing and caught nothing, just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. I'm going to stop right there. I'm kind of doing this as I go, so pray for me. I'm kind of living my own life and seeing this happen and play out in our lives. Jesus appeared just as the day was breaking, and he stood on the shore. I look back on times in my life when I could have been despairing. I think especially, 5 years ago, this is my 5th year anniversary of post-COVID. And I don't know why 5 years is important. Every year is important, but 5 years has some special meaning that I got to see a new grandbaby. I got to minister with my wife all over the world and across this country. I got to be here with you and be part of the leadership here. None of that would have happened. You would have never met me had God not been standing on the shore when I was out there not catching anything. And so he's on the shore, and it makes me think, there was Jesus. Through all of that, there was Jesus. Think about anything that you've gone through. I don't care how tragic or how great. Jesus never lost sight of you. Now, Jesus, guess what? He can see in the dark. So I can imagine in my sanctified imagination, Jesus is there on the shore, and he's told them to wait for him there, and so he goes there, and he didn't have to walk this time. He didn't have to walk to Galilee. He just appeared. And he's standing there, even as they're fishing, and he's going, oh, my children, fish your hearts out. Just fish as hard as you've ever fished, but you're not going to catch anything. You're not going to catch anything because you haven't latched on to the whole truth that I've been trying to teach you. You have to do things my way. So he stood there on the shore and he calls out to them, little children, hey, you poor people, you little guys, my children, You haven't caught anything? And they say, no, we fished all night and haven't caught a thing. And he's talking to these professional fishermen, people who know what they're doing. Is that you? Do you know what you're doing? I know what I'm doing. I've been a missionary. I've been a boss. I've been a soldier. I've been all these things. I could easily say, well, I know how to do that. I know what to do. I know what needs to be done, Lord. I don't really need your advice. I hope you don't have that attitude. Because if you think you know what you need to know, I've got some no for you. No, you don't. But there was Jesus. There is Jesus always there. And he calls out to those guys and he tells them this amazing thing. He says, fish on the other side of the boat. Pick up your nets. Put them on the other side. Just like Peter, I've said that. But Lord, I know what to do. How many times has Trish and I been on the mission field in some country at some church ministering and leading a team and doing all this great stuff, and we've done it so many times we could do it by rote and we know what to do. And then God says, wait. I know you've done that many times, but this time we're going to do it differently. And we were like, Lord, we know what we're doing. We got a whole team of mature Christians around us. We know what we're doing. But Jesus says, fish on the other side of the boat. I'm going to give you another side of the boat story because this is coming to mind as we go. Holy Spirit, I think, is prompting me and bringing things to mind because my memory's not that great. But Trish and I were in Ukraine. We had a great team with us. And we were in this town called Zhytomyr, which recently was rocked by missiles and bombs by Russia just in the last week. In the Central Baptist Church where we'd served more than once. And we're there with a huge group of people that wanted to learn English and we're going to evangelize them. And as we'd done many times, we knew what to do. And one day a student comes to Trisha and says, you know, I know y'all are Christians and you'd be interested in this information, but in our theater next week is coming this movie, maybe you've heard of it, Compassion of the Christ. And I thought you might be interested in knowing that Christian movie's coming to our town. So what does Trisha do? Trisha gets this message from the Holy Spirit, fish on the other side of the boat. And so instead of just setting it aside, she comes to me and she says, I think we're supposed to let every student see that movie. But Lord, that's not on our calendar. It's not in our budget. So I'm saying, I don't know how that's going to happen. And in the back of my mind, I'm saying, we're not doing that. Because we're here to teach English. And if we did that, that meant on a Tuesday night, we would not be able to have those students in our classes that were supposed to be there on that night. So they would miss out on all that great English teaching and all the fun. But we prayed about it. And God clearly said, fish on the other side of the boat. Put your nets out on the other side. So the next thing I know, I'm standing at the theater with my translator and we're talking to the manager of the theater. And I said, I want to rent your theater for 2 nights. And when we picked him up off the floor, we had a negotiation and we rented his theater for 2 nights. I said, you're not going to sell any tickets to the public. I'm going to buy every ticket for every seat. For 2 nights. Well, how are we going to do that? We don't have that money. We didn't bring that kind of money on this mission trip. Of course, we have money to meet expenses. We share this with the team, of course, and the team says, yes, let's do that. And one of the team members calls back to Fort Smith, Arkansas, to her home church and shares that with her pastor. And the pastor says, the money is on its way. Because we fished on the other side of the boat. That's just one example of many I could tell you where we thought we figured it out. We thought we knew what to do, but we didn't. I wonder if that's you. You know what you need to do in your life. That's not all just not working the way you thought. I wonder if it's because you're not doing it His way. Because there was Jesus standing on the shore But you can't quite make him out because you don't know him very well. You can't quite hear his voice because you don't know his voice very well, because you don't spend time with him. There was Jesus. So the story goes on, and what happens, you know very well. They picked up their nets from one side of the boat, which was not a small thing. Heavy nets, wet nets, tired men, been out all night, and they picked their nets up and put them over on the other side of the boat, never moving the boat an inch. And then what happens, of course? The net is so full they could barely bring it in. They ended up dragging it to shore. There was Jesus. And after this great victory, what happens? They fellowshiped with him. There was Jesus. And ultimately, in addition to doing what he asks us to do and seeing this great number of fish come into the net, meaning to us, come into his kingdom, there he is wanting to celebrate that fact with us and sup with us, have a meal with us. That's an intimacy that we cannot imagine. So in your life, I want you to think about a time where maybe you were a little reticent to obey. God was telling you, go this way, and you said, no, I want to go that way. He didn't leave you. Maybe some of you are facing that today where you think, something's got to happen, Lord, and I think I know what it is, and I think I know how to do it. And this is what I'm going to do, no matter what you say. But he's not shouting. He's just saying, no, don't do that. Do it my way. Because I'm here. And I love you. And I want you to prosper. I want you to have an abundant life. And that means abundant life can only come through fellowship with him. So he's calling to us. Do it differently than you did yesterday. Fish on the other side of the boat. Because I'm always there. I think about the time when I was in the hospital 5 years ago. At this time 5 years ago, I didn't know what was going on because I was in a coma. I have no memory of those weeks. I heard about January 6th much later. I heard about Snowmageddon that you were enduring here much later. I heard about the ramifications of COVID, which I was suffering from but had no idea what was going on. I heard about all that later. But throughout all of that, where was Jesus? There he was. He was by my bed. He was at the shoulder of the nurses and the caregivers as they cared for me. They were with my sweet wife, as some of you were, comforting her and letting her know, I got this. If we think about all the things Jesus is up to, we could be here all day, but I like to think of him being on the shore saying, I'm here. I'm here. You don't have to row hard to get to me. You just have to turn your face to me. Turn your ear to me. Turn your heart to me. And I'm going to give you a new teaching. Fish on the other side of the boat. Now that might mean to us as a church, it might mean that as a church we need to do some things differently that we've never done before. Okay, let's do it. It might mean you as a you personally as a Christian might think, well, I'm doing all I can as a Christian. I'm doing all I'm supposed to do. And I'm not leading anybody to Christ. I'm not sharing his love with anybody. I'm not really doing anything. Well, you need to fish on the other side of the boat. You need to change something. We all have something we need to change because there is Jesus beckoning us from the shore. Now, he didn't say, boys, fish on the other side of the boat, and I'll be right there. I'll come to you in a minute. You've seen me walk on the water. I'm going to do that again, and I'll be there in just a minute or two. He didn't say that. What did he do? He said, fish on the other side of the boat. And then he stood there and watched them. He watched them struggle bringing the net in. He watched Peter take off his outer garment and jump in the water and swim. Probably swam faster than he'd ever swum before. Peter kind of got it. I want to be close to you. Look at this miracle, God. I want that to bring me closer to you. So those hard times in your life, those great times in your life should make you want to swim as fast as you can to the shore, because there is Jesus. Did you ever think about this? If there's any distance between you and Christ, who put it there? If there's even this much distance between you and Christ, who put it there? I did. You did. Not him. He's never left his spot waiting for us to come to him and beckoning us. So, remember, there is Jesus. All of you have had those times in your life where you just didn't know what to do. Often it's related to someone's health, maybe your health or a family member's health, or a loved one who's dying or died. And you think, where were you, Jesus? And that's easy for us to go there. It's easy for us to say, well, where was Jesus when Trish and I experienced this after the Kerrville flooding, when we're ministering to families? Where was Jesus when my 8-year-old daughter was washed down the river? That's a hard question to answer. But it's a simple answer. He was there, cradling that little girl in his arms, welcoming her into the kingdom. When you're sitting by the bedside of a loved one who's imminently to die, where's Jesus? He's there. Hopefully ready to receive them if they know him. So that song brings to mind all the times in my life when I could look around and say, there is Jesus. All the hard times, all the great times. Now we can dwell on the bad times, but think about all the great times. Where was Jesus when the little baby was born to you? Where was Jesus? He was there going, yeah, that's my gift to you, Vanessa. That's my gift to you, Mike. When that little baby says his first word, that's my gift to you. When you got that job you never thought you'd have, that you'd worked so hard for and you thought it was all up to you, and then through some miraculous circumstance, you get the job of your dreams. There was Jesus in that. We need to acknowledge that. We go day after day, week after week, sadly, and don't acknowledge that there is Jesus. There are folks here this morning that are only here because Jesus said, I'm going to give you another year. I'm going to give you another day. I'm going to give you another breath. We don't know how long that is. There are folks that are not here today, for many for legitimate reasons, but others because they said, I'm okay with my relationship with Christ if I have one. And I'm not interested in swimming toward him or even moving toward him. And we need to get back to that idea that there is Jesus and I want to get to where he is. So the question, the big question this morning, and we may not be going very long, and I'm not going to apologize for saying what I think I was supposed to say this morning, that we need to get out of the boat, but only after we fished where he told us to fish. So what is God prompting you to do that you haven't done before? It may be something you've always done, but do it a little differently. I don't know what it is. How you study your Bible, how you pray, how you relate to someone where there's stress in the relationship. I don't know. But it's not all up to you. It's up to Jesus, and we have to say, there is Jesus, and that's where I want to go. I want to do it his way. If he says fish on the other side of the boat, I'm going to do it. If he says you need to change jobs, you should do it. If he says you need to stop working for a living and serve me full time, you've got to do it. No matter your station in life, young, old, it doesn't matter. He still has something for us to do. For us, for our little church to grow, we may have to get fish on the other side of the boat. I'm not sure what that means yet. We may have to fish on the other side of the boat. We may have to jump out of the boat and swim back to Jesus where we belong and let him take over the helm of our little ship. I don't know. I don't know who this message is for this morning. If it's not for me, it's got to be for somebody else. I know it's for me for sure. But we need to be praying, Lord Jesus, show me which side of the boat to fish out of. Show me what changes I need to make in my life, because there is Jesus and that's where I want to be. He's not far away. The Bible is somewhat clear that he was not more than about 100 yards from the fishermen when he's calling to them. That's not far. And he wants to be even closer than that. That's why he drew them to him. And Peter jumped out of the boat. I wonder how many of us are willing and ready to jump out of the boat and swim as fast as we can back toward Jesus. You see, the disciples knew Jesus. Guess what? How many meals do you think they had shared with Jesus during the course of those 3 years? How many meals? Three meals a day, 365 times three, 365 times three times three, whatever that is. Amy probably already knows that number in her head. They had already shared some intimate times with Jesus. Yet while waiting for them, they allowed some distance to creep in. To the point that when they heard his voice, all but one couldn't recognize it. And Peter, the one who said he loved him the most, didn't recognize his voice. Woe unto us if we ever let that distance grow even to 100 yards where we cannot recognize his voice, because there is Jesus calling and calling and calling. Fish on the other side of the boat. And after we fished on the other side of the boat and seen the victory that Jesus has for us, he's got it in store for you and in store for me. After that victory, what does he do? He cooks breakfast for them. If you read on down, he's grilling some fish. Well, where'd he get the fish? I don't know. He's God. He can have fish anytime he wants. Where'd he get the fire? He's God. He's master of fire. And what do you do? Come on, guys, let's have some breakfast. A symbol of tremendous intimacy, restoring to them what they had had before he was resurrected. They'd had breakfast hundreds and hundreds of times with this man. And again, he's saying, come and have breakfast with me. Let's get back to that devotion. Let's get back to that intimacy that we had with Jesus before. So I don't know where you are. If you're 100 yards, 1,000 yards, or 2 feet, it doesn't matter. There is Jesus, and he's beckoning us to get closer and closer to him and to be intimate with him, have breakfast with him, and fish on the other side of the boat. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to hear something from God that says, I want you to do something different in your life that's totally out of your habit? Maybe it doesn't make any sense, but if Jesus is in it, you got to do it. I don't care what your stage of life is. You got to do it because he wants that intimacy with you and with me. Now, you can be a Christian. You can know for sure that you're going to heaven, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. You can know for sure you're going to heaven, but you've let that intimacy diminish, so you're not as close to him as you once were. He's still there. You can still look around and say, there is Jesus, but he's over there, and I'm over here, and I'm okay with that. I want us today to think about, what do I need to do to bridge that gap in distance and get closer to him? I don't know what it is. As a church, there's a lot we need to do. As individuals, there's a lot I need to do and that you need to do to get close to him. But like the song said, there is Jesus, and they sang a lot about bad times. In bad times, Jesus is always there holding us up. And the bad times don't always turn into good times in God's economy. I could have passed away. That would not have been good. Many people would say, well, that's not good. I, for one, would be fine with it. But a little bit later in that same year, we're talking about 2021, after I'd been sick in 20, bridged over into 21 in the coma, miraculously healed, put back on my feet. In December of 21, one of our best friends contracted COVID. My age, better guy, better father, better husband, better pastor, better preacher, better man in my view. And he was dead in 3 weeks. That's God's sovereignty. But when I think back on his life, when Jesus said, fish on the other side of the boat, that guy would do it. When Jesus called him, he would run to Jesus. He would take off his outer garment and swim as fast as he could to Jesus. He was a great example to me. So I'm not able to explain why he took him and not me, unless he wants me to do something. I think what he wants me to do, I think what he wants us to do, is pull up our net out of that side of the boat where we're not catching anything and put it down on the other side where he's gathering the fish. Because we got to fish where the fish are. Because there is Jesus. He's got something for this church. I don't really know exactly what it is. As pastors, Brian and Chad and I, we talk and pray all the time about this. And the deacons, Roger and Robert, we pray about this, what to do. Many of you are praying what to do. I think we just need to find out where's the trigger. What do we need to? What is that thing that we're missing? I think it might be coming. But there is Jesus. He wants something for you. He wants something for us as a body. So I want our watchword for this week to be, there is Jesus. Calling from the shore, not far away, not shouting, not yelling, but saying, dear children, dear children, dear children, fish on the other side of the boat, and then come to me and we'll celebrate. This morning we're going to have an invitation. The singers and pianists are going to come. But I want to make sure everybody knows that in order to take advantage of what Jesus offers, you have to know him as your Savior. And I pray this is true for everybody in the room, but I don't know everybody in the room intimately, so I want to make sure we cover the important ground of every time we come together, is that I want you to know just how much Jesus wants you to be his. And it's so simple. You just have to say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I need salvation and I have no hope without you. I trust you and in faith know that you are the Son of God and you died on the cross for me. And only you can offer forgiveness for my sins because you're the only one with that authority. No one else died on the cross for me. No one else reaches out to me and invites me to join him. Today, Lord Jesus, I ask you, forgive me. Come into my life. Change any part of me you want to change. Make me into the man or woman that you created me to be. I trust you. I want to receive the free gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're going to sing a verse or two. And I invite you to come forward if you have a prayer need and you want to